This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Did they give up Xavier Worthy to the Kansas City Chiefs? Sure they did. The goal now is to find their own. So they have the 33rd overall pick. They are receiving calls. My understanding is there are several teams interested in potentially trading to 33. And I feel like, Peter, we do this every year where there's interest in 33 and it never gets traded. Usually if you're a team and you have all night to think of this one guy that you're going to get, usually you just take him. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what the Bills do.
Ian Rappaport wouldn't be surprised. I expect them to make the pick. I think, you know, trading down twice has been the story of today. I doubt very much Brandon Bean wants to start tonight with another, right. You know, like, let's go, right? Let's go.
At this point, he's just trolling the fan base.
I think they'll pick somebody. There was, this may be nothing, but the timing of the Bills tweeting their picks, you know, 7 o'clock sharp or something. I saw Pete Guelli tweet something with the Bills graphic and the report that there's probably not going to be a Debo trade. They were like right together.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's some sort of connection there.
Don't come 5 minutes late. We're going to be ready to go today.
Yeah, it's more like that. Yeah. We're ready to make our pick. Before we get back to your calls, one talking point is, well, Kansas City has been pretty successful. If they liked Xavier Worthy so much to trade up for him, why didn't you like him, Bills? And I don't know. There's probably an answer for that. It could be a good reason. Just wouldn't be how I would look at it. But it's a good question. It's an interesting question. There is a report from Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants, on what happened with them last night. They ended up not trading and picking Malik Nabers at 6. But there were reports, including, I think, from Stapleton, that they tried to get to 3 for New England and Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had offered their first-round pick next year to do that, which maybe was to be expected. He writes in a tweet, "The other fascinating part, what emboldened New England to keep May was the idea that Brian Daboll and Kevin O'Connell liked him. So essentially, he must be good." Like,
okay.
If the Bills had reacted to a Worthy offer like that with, why don't we just take him?
Right.
We would probably never know. Unless somebody reported this, then maybe the Bills would deny it. Right. We'd probably never know it. I'm saying to you, like, if they would actually do that, they should just completely eliminate their scouting department. Just read who the Chiefs like and pick those guys.
Right.
You don't really need to have your own people anymore. But maybe New England actually kind of did that with May. We don't really like him, but if the Giants and the Vikings do, he must be good. So
great starting point to a relationship there
right.
with a new franchise quarterback. We'll see. Like, I'm already I'm already, like, warming up the look at this kid's stupid fat face takes. I'm so glad they got Drake May. I'm not scared of him. We'll see. Maybe he'll be great. You know, there's plenty of faith. Chris Trapasso gave it an A or even A plus. I don't even know. So, like, lots of people who study this like the guy.
I'm one of them. I don't study as much as Chris by far, but he would have been the number two pick for me.
I'm a little freaked out by him, so I'm glad that they didn't end up with Jaden Daniels, New England. And I'm sorry, the stupid fat face thing wasn't really necessary, but whatever.
He's going to be the Patriots quarterback. You might as well get going.
Get warmed up.
Mac Jones is gone. Let's turn it on this guy. Let's go.
Him and J.J. McCarthy both have this sort of like, look at this guy. Like, they just both guys just watching him. I'm like, oh, man, I don't like this guy. Just looking at him, I don't like him.
Oof. You're getting rolling. Kevin is with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Boy, I'm not crazy about any of these receivers left. Of the bunch, I would take Ladd McConkey, but, man, nothing would depress me more than Keon Coleman at the top of the second round.
That bad? It's that bad, you think?
Yeah, I just don't. He couldn't even get open in college. How's he going to get open in the NFL?
Okay. I'm kind of with you, not specifically this point on Coleman, but these players in general. It's why I wanted the trade down in the first place. But they're going to end up with one of them. Like, that's – and if it's Keon Coleman in separation, or if it's Ladd McConkey in physical gifts, or if it's A.D. Mitchell in character and yards per route.
Troy Franklin in a slight frame. Like, whatever. There's a thing with everybody.
Once you didn't get to Odunze,
yep,
this was going to be true.
But I hear you on Coleman. Like I'm telling you, he rates where he rates to me, in part because there are traits there that I think could help them. But I am worried. Like, this team spent 4 years with Gabriel Davis as their number two receiver and ignored any clamor for them to upgrade opposite Stephon Diggs the whole time. And Davis absolutely had his moments and was a very good fourth round pick. But he did not run a full route tree, was not capable of really creating separation himself. He just really had one. He had one trick. And I'm worried about Coleman. They're going to love the run block. The reason I'm leading with he's a really devoted run blocker is I think they'll love that. And I'm scared they're drafting Gabriel Davis. And, like, that's nice to have on a rookie deal. And if you get that again, I don't know, with it being your first guy picked this year, Davis was more like a, not quite found money, but fourth round pick. Oh, he's looking, catches touchdowns. This is great. A little more pressure on a guy being the first guy in after Davis and Diggs both leave. I'm going a long way. I'm saying a lot of words here. I feel like Keon Coleman is very much a plug and play Gabriel Davis replacement. And I'm not sure, because I, in all aspects, and I don't know how much of a win that is.
There are some, I think, really interesting players when you get past these top names. We never talk about McMillan at Washington, who I just decided from all the reading I did is got to be above Polk, who was also on that team. We never talk. Malik Washington is somebody mm-hmm. that we never talk about. There's just too many. Javon Baker, we both kind of started off into him fast, right? That maybe is round three, but it's not just, it's sort of negative toward these top guys. Like, for me, it was with Brian Thomas, so a little bit with Worthy at times, and Leggett for sure. Pearsall, we never really spent much time on or, energy on him. Yeah, well, what am I telling you? Like, there's pros and cons with every guy. Let's go to John next. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So I've been listening in and out of the show today, and I've been hearing some Cooper DeJean banter about him possibly going to us at 33.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Bulldog, you're pretty high on the idea, but I
unfortunately
am not.
I like the player, but I don't love the idea because I really want a receiver, and waiting until 60 will be very challenging, but I think there's a fit. So anyway, go ahead.
I don't love either. For starters, he played in the Big Ten East, which I'm not sure if you guys follow college football, but the Big Ten East is arguably the worst passing division in all of Power 5 football. So it doesn't really impress me that he was locking down future mechanics from Northwestern, for example. Whenever he did play quality competition, whether it was against Penn State in 2023 or Ohio State in 2022, it was a rough day at the office for him. Being a film junkie, while he is very fast for a corner, it does seem like he consistently gets blown off the line of scrimmage at the snap. And because of that, He can't flip his hips fast enough. And because of that, the receiver gets stacked on top of him pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And while his speed may be fast enough to help him recover against like a Maryland or Rutgers, I don't think that's going to be the case against an NFL quality receiver and quarterback. He doesn't seem to be very fluid either while covering these top guys.
All right.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's going to be awful. I'd be fine with picking him at 60, for example, but we all know he's not going to be there by then. I would also be fine having him as a safety, but as a pure boundary corner,
right.
I just don't see a first-round guy. Mike?
Okay.
John, yeah. you got to it at the end there. I don't envision him as a corner at all for this team. Like, the idea is to replace Hyde or Poyer with him eventually. Like, you know, maybe there's punt return there and special teams and whatever, so maybe he doesn't start right away. Sal will be with us in 20 minutes or so and tell us about how they like veterans that know the system and all that as their starting safeties. But everything I've read about this guy is if the play is in front of him, he's money. And what is safety? I mean, that's it. So I'm not thinking about, and I do appreciate, I'm not blowing off your analysis of him as a corner, but I'm not interested in him as a corner, and I don't know what the Bills' intention would be, but my thought on them liking him is as a safety.
Greg Cosell was on with Ross Tucker at one point, maybe a lot, but I know I remember Cosell sort of speaking negatively toward DeJean as well. And it made Ross sad because Ross wanted Cosell to like him because he likes him. And also Daniel Jeremiah listed his top 10 best available as of right now, and DeJean is on that list. He's at the top of it if he means that to be like the very best player left on the board, which he might.
I think that's how they usually do that. Yeah, best available. If it's in order and he's on top, then he's the best available, I think.
Mitchell is third on this list. McConkey is sixth. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Sal, as Bulldog mentioned, coming up at 6. We'll look for more of your calls before and after our Facebook Live Draft Show presented by Quilted Squirrel. When you're ready to generate more leads and grow your business, call Quilted Squirrel.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.